And Pastor neglected to tell you that he was also out here helping put up the flags. And so it wasn't just all me, Mr. Pete, and Jerry. He also helped put up the flags on this side. So he was a blessing there, and I enjoyed his help. And I love the flags. We're coming up on Missions Month this next Sunday. And Missions Month, growing up as a kid, was always one of my favorite times to be at church, seeing all the country's flags, hearing all the missionaries come and give testimonies and give videos and just show what God's doing around the world. And it was just an exciting time as a kid and as a teenager to experience. And I'm really excited to hear Bob Reed speak. He's one of my favorite speakers. And he'll be here next Sunday. So if you haven't heard him speak, or if you have heard him speak, please come in here and speak, because you won't want to miss that, and you won't want to miss the rest of our missionaries that will be here throughout the next month. And Missions Month is a great time to just learn what we're doing around the world as a church, right? If you give to missions, it's amazing to think that you have a part in all of these countries that are represented by these flags around the world. And it's amazing to think that we here in little town of Fort Mill can have a part of the gospel being spread around the world. Like I said, turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going to be in John number 1, verse number 35. John number 1 and verse number 35. And the Bible says this: "Again the next day, after John stood, the two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Right? This is for those of you that are not familiar with this text, this is when Jesus is starting his earthly ministry, and he is calling his disciples, his 12 disciples that we will later know them by, who the Bible says will turn the world upside down. Right? And this is an amazing passage where he's calling them first, right? And the Bible says in verse 38, that then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto him, What seek ye? Right? And as Christians, there's a lot of people in this world that are seeking a lot of things. There's a lot of people that are seeking money. There's a lot of people that are seeking power. There's a lot of people seeking love, happiness, belonging. People in this world are searching for something. Right? But Jesus asked the disciples, What seek ye? Right? And there's a lot of people that come to church, right? And the question is, what are you seeking? Are you seeking God, or are you seeking to be entertained? Are you seeking God, or are you seeking for people to serve you, right? God asked them, what are they seeking? And they said, Where dwellest thou? They wanted to see where Christ lived. They wanted to be with Christ. They were seeking a relationship with the Messiah. And as Christians, I think it's important that we seek a relationship with God. But then also look with me a little bit before that in verse number 35, right? And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, this is talking about John the Baptist, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And I think it's important to notice John's response, right? John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. He was preaching. He was baptizing people. He was seeing people come to Christ and talking about the Messiah. But he wasn't interested in gaining followers to himself. He wasn't interested in building a crowd to himself. When Jesus came, his disciples were standing with him, which is his followers, right? And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And immediately his disciples left John and started following Jesus, right? And I think it's important as Christians that we proclaim Christ, right? As Christians, we're not supposed to be gaining a following to ourselves. We're not supposed to be pointing others to ourselves or drawing people to ourselves. We're supposed to be drawing people to Christ, just like John the Baptist did. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," right? John knew, and he understood, and I think it's important for us to understand, that we're not the light this world needs. We're not the hope that this world needs. We're just the messengers of the light. We're just the messengers of the hope. John chapter 1 and verse 8 says this, "And he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light," talking about John the Baptist, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." John, the reason John was able to say, "Behold the Lamb of God," is because he understood that the hope that the world needed, that the power that the world needed, was not in himself. And it's not in Christians or human flesh. It is in the Lamb of God, which came and died for our sins and takes away the sins of the world. No other thing can save you. Church cannot save you. The giving won't save you. Giving to missions won't save you. Being a good person won't save you. Only the Lamb of God can save us. And I think on a Sunday night, we all know that. We all know that truth. But it's important to remember that we are supposed to be messengers of that truth and to tell other peoples. We're coming up on Missions Month, and it's crazy to think that we're coming up on November already. It feels like just the other day I was back in California finishing my senior year of college. And somehow we are already up on November. Crazy to see where God has brought me from being a kid in college that wasn't really sure where God wanted me to be, whether it was supposed to be in Maine or whether I was supposed to seek other opportunities or whether or not God wanted me in ministry at all. And now God has divinely orchestrated my life to now I'm doing an internship here at the church, my home church. And it's been a blessing to work with the teens. And I'm appreciative to Pastor for even giving me that opportunity. And God works in amazing ways, but we're coming up on Missions Month, right? And as a kid, it was easy for me at Missions to come in like we will next week and to hear the stories and to just relax, right? And to just see, wow, look what God's doing in their lives. But I think sometimes we forget the fact that missions is not just for other countries. Missions is not just for the missionaries, right? We are all, as Christians, called to be missionaries. It's not just about going to Brazil or to Spain or to Canada or to Mexico or to Israel or I don't know all the flags in here, but it's not just about the people that are going to foreign fields. God has left this church, Bible Baptist Church, in Fort Mill, South Carolina, for a reason. This is our mission field. And we can, and it's amazing that we can have a part in all these missions by giving. But God wants us to have a part in this city. God wants us to have a part in reaching this community, not just around the world. The Bible says to start in Jerusalem and then Judea and then the uttermost parts of the world. And this is our Jerusalem. So we're not in Missions Month yet, but I got to thinking about what can we do? What can we do here? I don't want to just be the Christian that says, "Look what my pastor is doing." I don't want to be the Christian that says, "Look what my college is doing that I went to," or "Look what my fellow Christians are doing." I want to be the Christian that says, "Look what we're doing. Look what I'm doing. Look what God is doing through us," right? And Jesus said to the disciples when they came, he said, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode. right? And Jesus found Andrew, the Bible says, right? If you look back with me in John 40, or verse 1, or not verse 1, chapter 1, verse 40, he says, one of the two which heard John speak, talking about Jesus, followed him was Andrew. And Andrew was one of the first disciples that Jesus had called. But it says Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. He had a brother. And we see a progression of when God finds us as Christians, when he saves us, we are supposed to be finding others. We are supposed to be going out and finding others. And one of the best places to start is your own family, right? Andrew, when he got saved, he went and he said, oh, hey, I have a brother. His name's Simon Peter. And he doesn't know yet. He doesn't know the truth. Let me go share the truth with him. He wasn't content to just say, I know the truth and I'm going to follow Jesus. But he remembered his family. And he said, my family needs to know the truth. And I think as a community, as a church, that a lot of us in this room would say, I have family members that don't know Jesus. And what better place to start as Christians to go reach your family, right? To go reach your family. And you say, well, family's hard to reach. Family's really hard to reach, right? You hear people all the time say, your family is the hardest people in the world to reach. And that may be true. Family they can know you too well sometimes. But they can also just see you as that little kid they knew when you were younger and not think that you have the truth, right? But also, family could also be one of the easiest people to witness to, right? When God saves you, he changes your life. Do we believe that? Right? And when God changes your life, who better to realize that and to see that than your own family, right? Nobody should see the change in your life more evident than your own family, right? And Andrew went and reached his family. Now, how many of you would be brave enough to raise your hand and say you got family members that don't know Jesus? Right? All over this room, a lot of family members. All right, now I'm going to get a little personal. Have you told them about Jesus? Have you been faithful to tell them about Jesus? Or have you said, well, somebody else will tell them? Or I don't want to offend them. You may offend them. You may. Or I don't want to scare them off. Well, where are you going to scare them off to? They're already lost and going to hell. The worst you can do is just show them that they are lost. Right? They can't get any lost. Lost is not a word, but they can't get any more lost than they are right now. They can't. So we need to be faithful to tell them. Right? And you never know what God can do with their lives. But then number two, look with me further down in this passage at when he finds Philip, right? Verse 43, he says, the following day Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. And Philip followed him, and then for verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth and Joseph. Some people, I don't know a lot of people like this, but you may say, well, Jacob, my family grew up in church, we're all saved. Everybody in my family knows Jesus. Everybody in my family is living for Jesus. And that would be great. That's a great thing when families come to God and your whole family is serving God. But there's people that you work with. There's people that you're friends with that don't know Jesus that you need to tell. Philip didn't have a brother he could go tell. But he had a friend, Nathanael, he could go tell. And he was faithful to go do that. And I don't want to be the Christian that says, I didn't tell them. Right, me and my dad went over to my great grandma's house, and because we weren't sure if she was saved, and sometimes she doesn't like us coming over there. She says we bother her too much, right? But we went over and talked to her because we wanted to make sure that at least she was told and at least she knows, and we wanted to give her every opportunity to make sure that she's going to heaven because she's getting older and she doesn't have a lot of time left, right? And our family members and our friends, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what a day may bring forth. We don't know how much time we have left. I'm only 21, so I'm still young. But I could kill over just like this tonight down at the snack with the teens, and you'll have to cart me off, and I won't be here anymore, right? But the clock is ticking, and I don't want to be that person. The reason me and my dad went over to my great-grandma's house is because we didn't want to be there at her deathbed and look at her casket and say, I wonder where she's at. I wonder where she's go- if she put Jesus as her Savior. I wonder if she's in heaven. I wonder if I'll see her again. I don't want to be that person with my friends or with my family. And it would be a shame to get to the funeral place, right, where your family are, where your loved ones are, and say, I wish I would have told them. I had the answer, but I didn't tell them. I was too afraid I was going to offend them. I was too afraid that they were going to get scared off and not want to talk to me anymore. And because of that, I won't see them again. That's a sad day when you don't know that you'll see them again, right? And who's going to care for your family more than you? If you're not going to care about your family enough to tell them, why should you pray to God to send somebody else to tell them, right? If you can't care enough about your own family, about your own friends to tell them, then why should a stranger that doesn't know them at all care enough, right? It's got to be our job. It's got to be our job, right? Philip found his friend. Andrew found his brother. Now let me ask you this. Who's going to heaven? Who's going to be in heaven because of me and because of you? Will there be anybody? Will there be anybody that's going to heaven because of Jacob Haney's influence, because of Jacob Haney's walk with God? Will there be anybody that's going to heaven because of Bible Baptist Church and their influence for God? Amen. Right? I want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant, when I get to heaven. I want God to say about this church that it's a church like Philadelphia, right? That he can't find error with it, right? Not a church like Laodicea, who only cares about themselves, right? Jesus made an investment in all of our lives when we got saved. When he found Philip, when he found Andrew, he made an investment in them, and he says, I see your potential, and I'm going to save you out of your sin, and I'm going to sanctify you and use you for my glory. And it paid off. They had an investment, right? Will Jesus get a return on his investment in your life? Or did he just give you fire insurance, right? You know, a lot of Christians that say, when they get to heaven, they're going to say, well, God, I got nothing to show for you. I didn't do anything with it. I hid my talent. I wasted it. I was afraid. I was afraid to tell anybody. And because of that, all I have is what you gave me, which is salvation. But I don't want to be that Christian, right? And you say, well, it's hard. It's difficult to witness to people. It's difficult to go tell people. But I think a lot of times we sometimes overcomplicate witnessing. We overcomplicate sharing the gospel with others, right? If you look at Philip's response to Nathanael, right? He said to Nathanael, we found a Messiah. And Philip goes, he's from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And instead of going into a theological debate about what the Bible says or what this, Philip said this. He said this, look with me. He said in verse number 46, Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Right? That's all he said, was come and see. And Nathanael came and saw for himself that Jesus was the Messiah and he got saved. Right? Sometimes we overcomplicate it. We think, oh, if I knock on the door and an atheist opened the door, man, I don't know enough Bible to debate that guy. Right? I don't know. What if I knock on the door of an engineer who's got a master's degree and he's got a biology degree and he's just going to throw out all these things, right? And it's like, well, you don't have to debate with him at the door. All you have to say is, hey, would you be my guest at church? Would you just come with me to church and hear the gospel? Or would you just hand them a tract and say, hey, this is something good to read? My grandfather is notorious for giving out gospel tracts. Everywhere he goes, he gives out a gospel tract, to the point when Joel was a little kid, we were at a restaurant somewhere. I forget where we were at, but we were on vacation. We were at a restaurant. And Joel goes in the bathroom at a restaurant. He comes back out. He comes to the table. He's got a smile on his face like Joel always does. And he says, guys, Crampy's here. And we're like, Crampy's not here. And he says, yeah, he's here. He said, did you see him? He said, no. He said, well, how do you know he's there? He says, there's a track in the bathroom. Right? And it's because my grandfather, everywhere he goes, whether he's at a restaurant, whether he's golfing on a golf course, he's passing out tracks to people saying, hey, this is something good to read. This is how you can know you can go to heaven. Hey, Would you be my guest at Lakeside Baptist Church? Will you come? Will you just come here to gospel? And he's passing out. And he's doing the easy thing. He's not getting into debates. He's not giving them the full gospel plan. He's just giving them a seed. He's just giving them a seed. And you may say, well, I don't know what to say to people. Well, you can say, hey, would you be my guest? Would you come to church with me this Sunday? That's easy. All of us can say that, right? And that's what Philip did with Nathanael, and Nathanael got saved. A simple gospel tract can start a fire that you can't even believe, right? A lot of times we think, and I definitely have this mindset of sometimes I get in the habit of, oh, well, if I give them a tract, they're not going to read it. They're just going to throw it in the trash. Like, I wouldn't even read a tract if they gave me a tract, so why would they read it, right? And maybe they will. Maybe they will rip it up, right? But I got saved when I was 10 years old. And I got saved because my cousin asked me to come to a youth camp with her in her church. And I went and I heard Ed Dunlap preach. And I heard him preach about hell. I heard him preach about the cross. And I realized that I was lost and on my way to hell, all because my cousin just invited me to youth camp. Amen. Right? Evangelist Dave Young got saved and came to church because a pastor was faithful to come by his job every couple weeks and just give him a tract and say, hey, would you read this? And he told a story. I went to school with his son, and I didn't know it was his son until actually this past year. And Dave Young came and spoke to the seniors, and he was given this testimony, and he said, every week he would come, he would give me a tract, and I'd be like, he said, and I would tell him, I'll read it. And then the first thing he would do, he'd grab it and he'd throw it in the trash. Never read it. And the pastor would just keep coming by and keep coming by. And then finally, one day, he got a chick tract. Right? Y'all know what chick tracts are? The ones with the little drawings on them. Right? He got one, and he read it, and he's like, well, this is kind of interesting. And he just started thumbing through it, and he was reading it. And he decided to come to church. And then he got saved. And then he surrendered to ministry, all because of a tract. So then one day, a little boy, teenage boy, is sitting at a youth conference up at Ambassador Baptist College, which the teens are about to go to in a few weeks. And he heard a message from Evangelist Dave Young that was entitled, There is No Insignificant Step. And that teenage boy was me. And that message paved the way for me to take the steps necessary to where I wasn't going to Clemson anymore. I was going to West Coast Baptist College, and led me to where I am today, all because someone was faithful enough to give Dave Young a track. And then Dave Young impacted my life, right? You never know what a simple gospel tract can do for somebody, right? So have you been inviting other people to church? Have you been just giving them a simple invite or telling them about Christ, right? They can't have a relationship with God unless they know about it. And they can't know about it unless somebody tells them, right? And Jesus wants us to be seeking others, right? I lost my place. Sometimes, I feel like one of the obstacles to witnessing to somebody is we see them for who they are, right? You get up there. I was knocking doors the other day in a neighborhood down the street, and the guy comes to the door. He's a big guy. He's got tattoos on his arms. He looks like he could beat me up with one swing if he tried, and I just go up to the door and kind of get that swing. My name's Jacob Haney. Would you like to come to church with me? And he just kind of gives you that look, and I'm scared because I'm like, this guy's not going to want to come to church. Like, look at him. He doesn't even look like he's been to church in a long time, right? And I was afraid, right? But instead of seeing people for who they are right now, we need to view people as who they're going to be, right? When Jesus saw the 12 disciples, they were nobodies. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were people that the world despised and thought were worthless, right? And Jesus saw them of, hey, this is going to be the man that's going to change the world. This is going to be the man that's going to do things for God that you can't even imagine. And I think one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see people in heaven and God's going to give them a reward and say, well done. And we're going to be like, who's that person? I've never heard that person before. You know who that person is? Do you know his name? Because they weren't going to be well known on this earth, but God says they've done things for me that you can't even imagine. Right? If we see people for who they are, we're more inclined, or for who they are, we're not inclined to tell them. But if we see people for what they could be when God gets a hold of their lives, we're going to want to tell everybody, right? What if somebody had looked at Pastor when he was lost and unsaved and a drunk and said, I'm not gonna witness to him. I'm not going to invite him. He's not going to want to listen, right? What if they would have said that? pastor would have never went to church, probably. He probably would have never started this church and got saved. And we wouldn't be here today if someone wasn't faithful enough to tell pastor that he was lost and on his way to hell and invite him to church, right? What if, in this passage, what if Andrew would have never told his brother? What if he would have said, oh, I'm good with my salvation. I know he's the one, but Simon's not going to want to know. Simon's not going to want to know. I'm not going to tell him. What if he would have never told his brother? Then Peter would have never been at Pentecost preaching when 3,000 people got saved in one day and added to the church, right? You never know what somebody is going to do for the cause of Christ, right? The person that witnessed the pastor, he didn't know pastor was going to go into ministry someday and pastor a church and be my pastor. He didn't know that. He didn't know that we have roughly 129 members in this church, I think, right? And then more people come that aren't official members, but they come. He didn't know that pastor was going to influence that many people, right? And Andrew didn't know that Simon was going to preach to 3,000 people. He had no idea. But he just said, I know what Peter does need, and he needs Jesus, right? And we don't know. I don't know. I'm working with the teens, and I don't know what any of them are going to do with their lives. I don't. Sometimes they don't know what they're going to do with their life, right? But I have no idea what God's going to do with your life. But I know that God wants to use you, and I know that the Bible has the answer, and I know that God's put me in a position right now to help you learn the Bible and to help teach you what God says so that he can use it later on. Right, and we don't know what the people down the street are going through. We don't know what the big tattoo guy that I met is going to be when he gets saved. I have no idea, but I know that if God gets a hold of his life, he can do something amazing for God. God can use him. So we need to be faithful to tell people. Right, we have the hope. We have the answer. This world that we're living in is void of hope. Right, this world that we're living in. It's every day you look at the news and it's like, I don't really know if there is hope, right? Like me and Joel sometimes talk and Joel's like, everybody's so negative all the time. Everybody just thinks the world's going to come to an end. He says, and I really want to get married and I want to live a life. And I don't, like God's still on the throne. God's still in control, right? And we don't know when the world's going to end, but we know one thing, that God's still on the throne and he's still in the business of saving souls, right? And he's still in the business of saving souls in Fort Mill, just like he is in all these countries. His missions in saving people and seeing people come to Christ isn't just a worldwide thing. It's an everywhere thing, right? Well, which would be worldwide. But it's not just other nations' things. It's an American thing, too, right? God wants to save everybody, right? And we need to be faithful to tell people. God doesn't speak in an audible voice anymore. I wish he did. That would be cool, right? But he doesn't. He speaks through you and me. He left us Christians here to be missionaries where he put us, to be missionaries at Chick-fil-A, right? To be missionaries on your baseball team, to be missionaries in the youth group, to new teens that come, right? To be missionaries, my dad's an engineer, at your work, right? To be missionaries to the police force, as Gary is, right? To be missionaries wherever you're at, there's someone you can tell about Christ, right? And 100 years from now, every one of us is probably going to be dead. Probably. Maybe not the little ones. They might still be alive, possibly. But if they are, they're going to be really old, right? In 100 years from now, it is not going to matter what we did on this earth. It's not going to matter how many awards we did on this earth, how many baseball games we won, how many doctorate degrees we've gotten from school, how much money we got. The only thing that's going to matter is, are we in heaven or are we in hell, and who did we tell, right? And I don't know about you, but every day I walk past people who are on their way to hell, who are lost, who don't know Jesus, and I walk past them, and they're just going through the monotony of life. I work with them at Chick-fil-A. I used to see them at school. I see them as I pass them through the stores when me and Mr. Pete are doing shopping spree runs with the church's money, right? And I see them, and they don't know Jesus as Savior, right? And the Bible says about lost people is that having no hope and without God, Ephesians 2:12 says, lost people are having no hope and without God. And every day, if you look around, you can find people that are going through life without hope and without God. And the worst part of all is, if nobody tells them, they're going to step out into eternity one day, and they're going to step out into a godless existence, into a godless existence separated from God, burning eternally in the lake of fire, dying continually. And it's our job to tell them. We have the answer. The gospel of Christ is the greatest message the world has ever known. What the sacrifice on the cross is the greatest message the world has ever known, how he bought us back. He bought us back as sinners when we were lost and nobody wanted anything to do with us. God bought us back and he gave everything for us. He gave everything for us. So I want to give everything for him. I want to live for him. I want to serve him. I want to reach people for him. I want to reach this community for him. I want to see teenagers grow up and live for him. And I hope you do too. Right? I hope you realize that God has given everything for you, so we ought to give everything for him. Right? We ought to get out into the highways and the hedges. We ought to get out into the streets where people are and to talk to people and to get and to pass out the gospel and to lead people to Christ. That's our job as Christians, right? This month is Missions Month, and there's missionaries all over the world that's just preaching the gospel and seeing souls saved, right? But like I said, this is our mission field, and we're to be leading people to Christ here, right? If we don't, who will? And you say, well, Jacob, that's okay, but I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to preach. Well, that's okay. You don't have to be called to preach. The Great Commission is not given just to pastors, is not given just to missionaries, it's given to the church and to Christians. It's all of our jobs to tell people. Now, you may say, well, I would never stand up here and preach. That's fine. You don't have to. Not everybody's meant to, right? But you could help a church. You could help pastor. You could serve in the church. You could be a part of the choir. You could be a part of master clubs, and you could help teach people. You could help just serve the church. You could help serve in Afterglow because we need workers, right? You could help for Fall Fest, and that's times where you can have a part in reaching souls, right? And you say, well, I have a family. I have kids. I don't have time. I hear that all the time, sometimes from my own parents, right? I don't have time to tell people. I mean, you know what we're doing. We got sports. We got school. We got work. And then at some point, I need to sleep. Right? And at some point, I got to pay bills, and I got to get the house ready, and I got to get all this stuff ready. And I understand that. We're all busy. And unlike me, you don't have the luxury of working at the church, so you have that's your free time to go knock on doors. You have other things you need to do. I get that. But that's why I'm not asking you to go out and knock 100 doors. I'm not asking you or telling you have to go out and knock even 10 doors, right? I'm just saying, will you reach one person? Amen. Will you just reach one person, right? There's 12 months in a year. I think we can reach at least one person in 12 months. And that person may not come immediately. That person may not receive Christ immediately. It may take years and years to see that person come to Christ. But if you can just reach one person, that's better than nothing. And God is pleased with that. We have, like I said, 129 members in the church, right? If each person would just reach one person this year, by next year, we would have 258 saved people in the church, right? And then if they would, in turn, go reach one person, and then one person, every year, in a decade, we could reach, if everybody reached one person a year, we could reach 132,096 people for the cause of Christ. And now I know that's not necessarily realistic. You're not always going to get people saved. But the point is, one person matters, right? We don't have to have these lofty goals of reaching a million people in a year, reaching 20 families, right? All you need to do is say, I'll reach one. I'll reach one. And God says, okay, I can use that, right? And maybe that person you reach, like Peter, reaches 3,000, right? And then you had a part in his ministry, right? We have three options in our country and in our world. Option one, revival. Option two, ruin. And option three, the rapture. Those are our only three options as Christians on our way out, is we're either going to have revival in the world, we're going to have ruin in the world, or we're going to be raptured out. And I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to sit back and just watch the world fall apart. I'm not trying to just sit back and watch Fort Mill and Rock Hill fall apart. I'm not trying to pass off to my children one day, when I have children or my grandchildren, a world that is worse off than when I came into it. I don't want to do that. And I don't know about the rest of the moms and dads in here, but I don't think you want to pass that off to your children either. I don't want to say, here you go, son. Here's the world I left for you. I didn't do anything to try to make it better. I didn't do anything to try to live for God. Right? Because the sacrifice of the cross is the greatest message the world has ever known. It's time to take action as Christians. It's time to go tell people. The world is spiraling out of control, and we have the hope, and we need to tell somebody. And there's at least one person you can tell. I know everybody in here knows at least one person that they know well enough that they can talk to, that they can invite to church, that they can have an influence on. And all I'm asking is that you commit to reaching one, right? I have a prospect list. I call it a prospect list. But when I go out door knocking and I meet somebody that seems interested or that wanted to talk, I write their name down and I write their address down and I try to go follow up with them and try to invite them to church. And they don't always come, obviously, right? But one of the people on my prospects list, his name was Lever, right? And he works with me at Chick-fil-A. And we got to talking, and it's easy to talk when you're friends because you can kind of get that conversation going. And we got to talking, and he wasn't saved. I asked him, Lever, do you know you're on your way to heaven? He says, well, I think. I was like, well, how do you, I say, okay, well, why are you going, like, if God, if you were stood before God right now, how would you know? And he said, well, I think I've been a good person, right? And we walked through the gospel plan. And he didn't get saved right then. And we kept talking and we kept talking. But then just a couple days ago, we were working at Chick-fil-A. And he comes up to me and he said, Jacob, I've been thinking about what you're talking about. And I prayed and asked God to save me. Right? All because I just told him. Right? And I was a little nervous, right? Because I'm like, well, we work together and he might report me and then I'm going to get fired. And then, right? But I told him and he got saved. And he didn't get saved right away. He didn't get saved in a couple weeks. It took a couple months before he got saved, right? And if we're faithful just to follow up with people in our family, to follow up with friends, and just give them the gospel and invite them to church, you never know what that could have an impact on their lives. The Bible says, and I'll close with this, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. We call this the Great Commission, right? And we might hear a lot about it over Missions Month, right? But the Great Commission is given to all of us. Jesus says, look, lift up your eyes and look, the fields are already white unto harvest. Jesus said, the fields are still white unto harvest today, and we can still reach souls today just like they did in the first century. All Jesus asks is that we go reap the harvest. We just go harvest it. Like my dad says sometimes, God gives the increase. All right, we just need to be faithful to go out into the fields and work, and God will supply the increase. And we'll bow our heads and pray. All right. Dear Lord, just thank you for this church, and thank you for them listening to me, Lord. And sometimes I feel like I mess it up. But, Lord, you're faithful to us, and I want to be faithful to you as a Christian. And I want to be faithful to my future family as a Christian to tell them and to tell my friends. I don't want to sit and watch them go to hell and not tell them, not warn them. And, Lord, I pray that there's somebody to hear that would say, hey, there's one person. I have a name in my mind right now as you were talking, and I want to tell that person. And that they would be faithful to tell that person, Lord. And bless the afterglow tonight and the teen activity later tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.